Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
RecTech is more than a grill, it's a lifestyle. Built by grillers for grillers. Go to RecTechWithAQ.com, RecTeQ.com, RecTechWithAQ.com. Smart grill technology. Cook it from your phone. Not kidding. It's great. Tristan Thompson, decade in the NBA, finals in four straight years. He's a big guy. He's a big fella. And when I watched that game last night, the Lakers' size was such a problem for Miami. It felt like the series was over, and he is joining us now live via the Cowher Global Satellite Network. Were you surprised by how dominant the Lakers were, Tristan?
Yeah, most definitely. I know going into this series, I knew that AD had to be a big factor, but I didn't realize, you know, with Dwight Howard and AD on the court against Bam and Jay Crowder, I was like, man, this is like men versus boys. Like, you know, Dwight Howard's dumping it off, getting assists, which I've never seen Dwight Howard really do, to AD just playing big for big. It was just like varsity versus JV. It was just like, look, he's just getting and ones, offensive rebounds, like, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Now you've been in enough finals. Did you ever play in a game one, maybe get beat badly or win big? And like, what do you think the Heat are saying today?
I think it's very similar to in 2018 when we got swept by Golden State. We had a lot of fresh faces, guys that have never been to the finals. And that game when LeBron's charge turned to a block, which I've never seen happen before ever in NBA history. You know, that game we lost, I think for some guys on our team that haven't been to the final, I think mentally it kind of, you know, set our team back. And I feel like for Miami, like this was their game that they needed to win, because I think confidence-wise, these guys that are young and experienced, they need a game like this to like feel like, okay, we belong here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we beat Milwaukee, we beat Boston, but like, you know, when you're warming up and you see LeBron and AD dunking and layup lines, you're like, you know, you're intimidated. It's just the natural reaction. So last night definitely showed, like, you know, it was like, you know, the A team versus the B team, you know?
What do you think LeBron says? I think apathy can be a real thing when you have a dominant team. LeBron's smart. He watches that game and he thinks Bam Adebayo is not going to stop AD, and he knows nobody's going to stop him. What do you think LeBron is saying last night and this morning?
Definitely keep the foot on the gas. I think one thing about this Miami ball club and the organization that's rambling with Pat Riley and Spoelstra is that, you know, they're not going to give up. You know, even though they might not have as much talent, guys might fall because of injury, they're going to keep playing hard for 48 minutes. And LeBron knows that because he's been there. He knows Spoelstra. He knows what Spoelstra is saying to those guys. So for LeBron, it's like, you know, we're not taking our foot off the gas. You know, we got to continue attacking these guys. They're smaller than us. Attack the rebound. AD, continue to be 25 and 15. Dwight, when you're out there, get offensive rebound. Do things that don't show up in the stat sheet, but you're still impacting the game. So this is just a veteran ball club that understands, but especially with LeBron, and he knows what's on the line. He's locked in, and he's keeping that car on a supercharge.
You know, LeBron said this was the most challenging playoffs of his life in the bubble. I'm sure you've talked to some of your friends in the league and some of the Lakers. Kind of tell my audience what you're going through as an older player for the last 3 months in Florida in this bubble.
Yeah, no, it's the bubble is definitely, especially for veteran players, it's much more difficult, especially for a guy like LeBron. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's got a big family. He's got wife, kids, he has his routine, you know, he's making movies. He's a big routine guy. So for him being in LA and being able to get his treatment and being with his family and chef, like all that stuff, even for like other players, like that stuff is kind of like what helps you get ready for the game. So for him not being able to have that on a daily basis, it's definitely frustrating and tough. But if you ask a guy like, you know, Tyler Herro or some other young guys that are 19, 20, you know, they're just used to this. You know, this is like AAU where it's like hotel, eat food in the lounge, go back to your room, play video games. You know, for them, they really don't have much else going on. So for a younger guy, it's like, hey, man, I was just doing this, like, you know, 8 months ago in college at Kentucky. But for a guy like LeBron, you know, this is definitely difficult, especially, you know, the hotel room, no matter how big your suite is, but every day you're there longer, the room just gets smaller and smaller, and it just drives you crazy.
It certainly does. I have said I'm shocked, not shocked, I'm surprised that LeBron and AD, the first 2 weeks, it just clicked. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised?
No, not at all. I think what makes this duo different than the other teams in the league compared to, you know, the Russell Westbrook and James Harden or Ben and Embiid, I think with this one is that, first of all, LeBron shoots it better now in his career, which opens up a lot for AD to work around on the left block and work in the paint, which AD wants to do. And for LeBron, you know, he's basically the point guard. So he knows exactly, you know, where AD wants it, how to get AD going. If you watch the games, you know, LeBron should get AD going early. You feed the beast early, you get him going, and LeBron can get his numbers. He knows he can get his numbers. He knows how he can get himself going. So I think that's why it's worked so well compared to, like, you know, with Embiid and Ben, you know, they both play in the paint. With Russell Westbrook and James Harden, they're both ball dominant. So it's tough because guys kind of have to give up a little bit, you know? And even with LeBron and D-Wade, they went through some growing pains because they both are, like, you know, point guards on the floor and they both have the ball in their hand. But with AD and LeBron, it's like Shaq and Kobe. Here, I'm gonna feed the big fella, you go to work. If they double team you, kick it out to me, I trust my three-point shot, or come in a pick and roll, let me attack the rim and get a two-on-one action.
You know, it's interesting. An interesting player last night, he was very good early, as Tyler Hero. So with Goran Dragic hurt, we'll find out more with Joy Taylor and Herdline News, but with him hurt, you don't have many options now. You got to pick, you know, Tyler Hero's a problem defensively, but you need his scoring, because outside of Jimmy Butler now, you just need his scoring. And Bam's got to play such good defense in this series. That's going to sap some energy from him on the offensive end. But if you were the Lakers and you knew the Heat had to play Tyler Hero 30 minutes because they need his offense so desperately, what would you do if you were Frank Vogel?
If I'm Frank Vogel, first play the game, if I'm not giving it to AD, I'm running a pick and roll. Whoever Tyler Hero is guarding, come set a pick and roll. So he's probably going to be guarding Danny Green. So if I'm LeBron, come up top Danny Green, set this screen, let me get an ISO against Tyler Hero. You know, at the end of the day, Spoelstra knows that he needs scoring, so he's going to have to sacrifice some defense. But with Tyler Hero in the game, you know, you're going to have to give up the defense. So if I'm Frank Vogel, we're going to attack Tyler Hero every time. We're going to put him in every pick and roll. And with him having to guard on the offensive end, maybe his legs might be tired. He might, you know, some of his shots might be short. So, you know, Tyler Hero, get them puppies ready because, you know, you have to play both ends. And, you know, you want to be a good player in this league, you have to do on both ends. So you got to be ready.
You know, it's interesting, Tristan Thompson joining us, is that the bubble, COVID, actually gave LeBron's legs about 4 months off. I think he's the freshest he's been in years. I mean, what does it look like to you?
No, he looks fresh. You saw at the end of the at halftime when Kuzma threw up that floater, he did like a reverse dunk. I said, Lord, I can't even do that if I warm up for 30 minutes. So I think this COVID thing was the best for LeBron's legs to keep him fresh. And you see it out there. He's shooting threes. He's playing 40 minutes. He's dunking. He's playing on both ends. He might sprain an ankle and dunk the next play, which is crazy and unheard of. But I think this was like a blessing in the sky for him.
Finally, Kyrie Irving had a recent quote on KD. He said, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for down the stretch. This is the first time with KD in my career where I can say that guy can make that shot too. What do you make of that?
I'm hoping that it was a way to get, you know, to bring him and KD closer. So give him a compliment for ego, because that's what I'm hoping, because, you know, you play with LeBron, K-Love, and in terms of making shots, I mean, J.R. Smith's probably one of the best guys to take a shot from anywhere on the court, and he can make it. So he's played with some other killers on the court. So I'm hoping that this is just part of Sean Marks and Kyrie's plan to get KD all together and make it a great kumbaya, because in Cleveland, we had some bad boys. Like, I mean, like, this guy's playing the finals last night, LeBron James. He's a pretty good player. So if I give him the ball, I'm pretty sure he'll make shots too.
I had the Lakers in five. I think it may be a sweep. I really do feel there's – I think Bam Adebayo matched up great with the Celtics because they were a small team and he could concentrate on offense. I think Bam defensively now has to guard LeBron and AD. I don't think you'll get much offense from him. I think it's a problem they can't solve. I think we could be looking at a sweep. Your thought. What do you think?
Going into this, I was saying, because I respect the Heat's organization and I respect Spoelstra and Pat Riley, I was saying, you know, Lakers in six. But of course, if guys are not playing, if Dragic's out, that's a big loss for them. So then I move it down to Lakers in five. But I think I have Lakers win the first two games. I think game three, if the Heat want to win a game, and probably the only game that I have them winning would be game three. They'll treat it like their game seven.
Yeah.
And I think that's their one win and an opportunity to get a win instead of getting a 4-0 sweep. So I just have them getting one win. And just last night was just, I was really surprised and shocked how much size was a factor in game one. Of course, Lakers aren't going to shoot it as great every first half like that again. I know we've been talking about it. You know, we've tried to figure out, you know, who's going to make shots for them. So they were definitely clicking all cylinders first half. But I think, you know, the Heat can get game three. I think that's their one win they'll get in the series.
Tristan, absolute pleasure talking to you. 10 years in the NBA, four straight finals. We'll talk soon, my man. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. When it comes to reaching your health goals, you got to change some habits. Change your mind as well. That's where Noom comes in. Free trial today. Check it out. Noom.com/herd. Noom.com/herd. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Going winless in September was certainly not how the Jets planned on starting their 2020 season.
True.
Sam Darnold has gotten some criticism for how poorly he has played.
Fair.
But Joe Flacco is still backing up his teammate despite the disappointing start.
He's really talented. He really is. I mean, he can make all the throws. He's got good feet, good head on his shoulders. You often forget that, you know, football is the biggest team sport, you know, in the world. And it takes 22 guys plus a couple more. You know, there's a reason we have 40-some guys up every week. It takes all of them. And we got to do better as a team.
Well, Sam Darnold was... he was pretty bad last week.
Yeah.
It really got away from him. 17 of 29, 168 yards, one touchdown, and three interceptions.
Now, how is there... I haven't... You know, Joy, I wish I had my phone with me. I have not looked at the injury report. How is their, hey, John, how's their O-line injury? If the O-line returns tonight, if everybody's healthy across the board, including Connor McGovern, the center, I think they beat Denver. If it's not, if we're talking about major injuries.
They could be getting Jamison Crowder back as well.
Okay,
tonight.
That's big. So he is his favorite target. So if the O-line's healthy and Jamison Crowder plays, I like the Jets. That's a big one. Jamison's a very reliable slot receiver.
Well, also, I think I like the Jets as well because they're really, it's past the point playing for your life. Obviously, we don't think this is a playoff team, but despite the fact that the Jets disputed what you said about the agents calling or them calling agents, we all know that what's on the line for Adam Gase tonight.
No question.
And
he knows
the Broncos
it.
Are on their third quarterback.
By the way, it is. It's their official third. Don't you feel kind of like this is a game, actually, Joy, where Darnold will win the game. Like, he'll make a play against the third string. Like, tonight, tomorrow, my prediction is we're all going to go, okay, let's settle down. It's not a Sam Darnold issue.
But what really should we do that? Because it's the Broncos are struggling this year with injuries
Vaughn,
but it's a standalone game and we always kind of react to those.
So John, what do we know? So Joy says Jamison Crowder is back and I think that is substantial.
He should be back tonight, yes.
And is what do we know on the offensive line?
Becton is questionable.
If he plays, because Becton's their freshman, their rookie left tackle who's a monster, but it's like the last 2 years, the whole O-line's banged up.
They're last in points per game, 12.3, and last in yards per game, 263.7.
All right, George Fant, the right tackle is back, and the left tackle should be back, and Jamison Crowder. It'll at least be a competent offense.
The Jets should win tonight.
Well, Le'Veon Bell's out. He's out for a while, right?
He's still on the hamstring injury. So the Heat, speaking of injuries, announced that both Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic are doubtful for game two of the finals on Friday.
Boy.
Dragic left the game yesterday with a torn plantar fascia in his left foot. And Bam also exited the game early and has been diagnosed with a neck strain after an MRI. Goran Dragic is the second highest scorer for the Miami Heat this postseason with 19.9 points per game. Butler is first with 20.8 points per game, but Jimmy rolled his ankle twice in the game yesterday.
Yeah, he came back, but he was limping.
He wasn't the same after the second ankle roll. Bam had 8 points and 4 rebounds before leaving. The size thing is obviously a major issue, but look, The Lakers are supposed to win this series.
They're a huge favorite.
Right? I don't know what you can expect from the Heat if Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo are out.
You don't have enough points. What you do is you play Duncan Robinson 40, Hero 40. You suck up their bad defense and just say, we need 26 from both of you. Shoot threes.
Yeah, they have to shoot. Well, the Heat early took a little bit of a lead. But then they started making all of these ridiculous mistakes, turning the ball over constantly, and you can't do that with the Lakers. Now, eventually, obviously, the injuries took over the game, but you have to play perfect against the Lakers if you're the Heat, if you want to stay in the series. So they have to eliminate the mistakes. That's just not an option for them, and they're going to have to shoot better than they did last night. Now, as Tristan said, the Lakers probably aren't going to shoot as amazing as they were yesterday. They were firing on all cylinders, but that doesn't eliminate the issue that you have with Dwight Howard. And Anthony Davis is a problem.
Yeah.
We already know what LeBron's going to do, right? So that's just kind of, there's nothing you have for LeBron.
Yeah.
You have to solve the Anthony Davis problem and Dwight Howard, and you're just going to have to shoot more. I think that it's very bleak for the Heat. I'm not going to freak out after one game, but the injuries are what they are. And that doesn't take anything away from if the Lakers win this series, like, oh, you didn't have Bam, you didn't have Goran. Injuries happen. Nobody says that the Raptors series didn't count as a championship. Like, that's, injuries happen to everyone. The whole league could look different if the Warriors were healthy and Brooklyn was healthy right now. So just, that is what it is. It's unfortunate, obviously, for the Heat, but that's how it goes. So the Lakers have been great in the bubble and are back in the finals for the first time in a decade. So it's no surprise their stars are leading jersey sales. LeBron has the most popular jersey in the NBA since the league restarted in July. And Anthony Davis is third on the list. Luka is second. Jason Tatum and Giannis are 4 and 5. Steph Curry, surprisingly, still at 6. Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, and Jimmy Butler at 10. Lakers were also the top-selling team in merchandise since the restart as well. I mean, it's the Lakers. Like, it's a massive brand to begin with.
And I'm playing, actually... I mean, Kawhi
game one in the NBA Finals.
Kawhi is probably the second best player in the league or third, and he's like ninth in a major market, Los Angeles. It goes to show you that personality matters. Like, Damian Lillard's up in the Northwest, but Damian's got a personality. He's got a brand.
The NBA is a personality league.
It is.
It's really not surprising that Luka is number two either.
No, I mean, he's fascinating. And, you know, international players generally don't sell quite as well, but Luka... You know, when you're a guard, he's not like 7 foot, so kids look at him and they can see themselves a little bit with guys. And he controls the ball so much.
He does.
He's such a part of their offense. Like, he touches it every possession.
And he's got a little edge to him. He's fun. He's young. He's tough. You know?
All the stars are going after him. The old guys are going after him.
And he was incredible in the bubble. So.
I tell you, Denver and Dallas are young and really good.
And they're going to come back next season with just a little chip on their shoulder, because they both kind of feel like they had more to accomplish.
Yeah, good stuff. Joy of the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So Jamison Crowder and George Fant are going to play for the Jets tonight. I think the Jets will win. Yeah, the Jets front office ownership denied my report, which is the Jets owners have reached out to an agent or two. Listen, it's... I was saying, name the last coach who was circling the drain, wasn't winning, not getting along with stars, and miraculously was there 5 years later. Dan Quinn held off the Wolves for like 6 weeks. But right now, Dan Quinn is done. Everybody likes Dan Quinn. Adam Gase is in trouble, and it doesn't seem like Greg Williams or the players. It doesn't work. So, and I'll go back to this. I think the really troubling thing for Adam Gase is Ryan Tannehill has gotten significantly more efficient and dependable since he left the quarterback guru. So when you combine things, you combine that with Darnold not growing. Now I've got these two examples. I'm like, well, Tannehill's better and Darnold's not getting any better. You know, it's one thing to make a mistake, but when I can go back and go, oh, you did it there and you did it there, then that's a trend and I'm going to get rid of you. Like Kyle Shanahan, he's made every quarterback better. But if he had, let's say he... You know, Matt Ryan struggled with him. He could still point to Garoppolo, and he could go Schaub, and he made RG3 Rookie of the Year. But in this league, you do something once, and I can't see it. Shame on, you know, you. You do it twice, and I can't pick it up. Shame on me. So Tannehill's emergence and Darnold struggling, it's like this is now what Adam Gase is tied to. You can't go back. Well, Peyton Manning was great regardless of who coached him. You don't get credit if you were a coordinator for Peyton Manning. You're not nothing against Josh McDaniels, but it's a Brady Belichick story. Let's not kid ourselves. Coming up, LeBron's had all these teams and all these players. We rank his 10 best teammates in order next. Who are they?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
CarShield.com. It's the warranty when yours runs out. CarShield.com. Code is HERD, H-E-R-D, to save 10%. A deductible may apply. So the Lakers vanquished the Heat last night, as Joy just reported. Bam is out and Dragic is out for Game 2 Friday. That's going to be chucking up a lot of threes by Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. And I do think there are times that we don't want to overreact to stuff, but there are times you watch things and you're like, oh, that's a thing. Like Baltimore's defense just can't stop Mahomes in crucial situations. Like, they're really struggling. They don't have the pass rush to do it. And, you know, I said earlier, Holyfield was a bad matchup for Mike Tyson, and this is a bad matchup for the Miami Heat. They look small, and we know they're really young, and Tyler Hero's their best shooter, but when he's on the floor, the Lakers are going to pick and roll him to death because he's, as Joy said, 2 years out of high school. He was guarding some pimply-faced kid 2 years ago, and now he's doing a pick and roll against LeBron. It doesn't work, but it did make me think last night. LeBron's had a lot of different teammates. And who are the people that he's really relied on or who have been with him briefly but delivered? The eight best teammates in LeBron's career, which is now 17 years, I would say
number eight
would be Ray Allen. Now, they only played together for 2 years, but he averaged 10 points off the bench, and he made the most three-pointers by any Heat player in those 2 years. He, of course, hit the legendary basket to save the second championship for Miami. So that shot is a big part of LeBron's legacy. Now, it should be noted, he didn't always play a lot of minutes. He was at the very end of his career, and he was only 2 years with LeBron, not four in Miami. But he makes the list, and LeBron's played with a lot of guys. The list this morning was 20, 25 guys. I put him on the list because of that shot and because he was a very good, reliable bench player as the league was really becoming a three-point league.
Number seven.
He was the muscle. He was the muscle in Cleveland, Tristan Thompson. He may only average 8 points and eight rebounds, but Kevin Love became more of a perimeter player, and he was the muscle on those teams. Remember, LeBron chose to keep him. They had the same agent. LeBron got him paid. They were always very close. And as Kevin Love came on, had some injuries, and often moved out, Tristan was the reliable guy in the middle. Four straight final appearances with LeBron.
Number six.
Zurgrunas Ilgauskas for the Cavs. A very underrated player. Mr. Energy. He could match LeBron's energy up and down the floor. Eight combined seasons. One NBA final trip. Most games ever played with LeBron as a teammate. Did you know that? Is Zurgrunas. 124 double-doubles. Cleveland had a lot of unique players. He was a big. He ran the floor. He was Braun's guy, and he was a pretty damn dependable guy for 8 years with LeBron.
Number five.
Kevin Love. Now we get into a Hall of Fame level player. Kevin was only with him for 4 years, but they were four final appearances, and he made two All-Stars. Kevin had to sacrifice a lot of his game. Remember, he was a 25-10 guy in Minnesota, and then he became more of a perimeter guy. He was one of the league's best rebounders when he came in the league, but LeBron didn't need him for that. He wanted him to clear space at the rim. But Kevin Love is also a bright, high-functioning guy. LeBron chose him, remember? They could have had the number one pick in Wiggins, remember? And they didn't want him. LeBron went out and wanted Kevin Love. He wanted somebody who could hit threes. LeBron saw the emerging importance of bigs who could score because LeBron was with Chris Bosh in Miami, who was a big who could shoot. So he went and got Kevin Love.
Number four.
Chris Bosh, who I think is a little better version of a Kevin Love. And they're both great players who were stars in Toronto and in Minnesota. I think Bosh's career was cut short because of an injury. Chris was a four-time All-Star with LeBron, averaged 15-plus every year with LeBron. And it should be noted, could have easily, if he was a selfish player, averaged 25 with LeBron. LeBron and Bosh are the only players to average 7-plus rebounds during their four-year run together, which is saying something because Chris often had to guard the others big. He was often away from the basket. He's number four.
Number three.
Kyrie Irving is such a great finisher. He drives me nuts, but LeBron's got his Cleveland championship because of Kyrie and that jumper. He is a tremendous dual-handed finisher. I think for his size, he and Steph Curry are the best finishers in the league. He's remarkably gifted. Now, he's not consistent physically. He gets hurt. He can be a little flaky and drive you nuts. But you have to say this. Three straight finals with LeBron, and he hit the shot after LeBron had the block. Kyrie hit the shot to win over the Warriors.
Number two.
Dwayne Wade was really the emotional and physical rock. Now, at the end of his run with LeBron, he struggled in back-to-back games. But remember they set a new NBA record for longest winning streak in year two. The energy was just insane. They won like 20, I forget what the number was. This was his best friend. He's the one that helped recruit him to Miami. And it really was the maturity of D-Wade to understand, I'm a little out of my prime. I'm going to step back. I'm going to let LeBron kind of run the show. I don't think a lot of players would do that. That was Wade County. I don't think a lot of guys have the self-awareness, the maturity, and the smarts to do that. But I'll tell you, the first 3 years, I felt it. The last year, they felt a little old. Years two and three, they were so athletic and so dynamic and so won. And Wade's also one of my favorite people in league history.
Number one.
I think it's Anthony Davis. Now, D-Wade was great, but he was not in his prime. Remember, D-Wade was toward the tail end of it. Anthony Davis is in his prime. He has been remarkable in the bubble. He has been a monster. Now, he, like Kyrie, he's had some injury issues, but in their first finals together and bubble together, Anthony, I think, is the perfect fit. Whereas Kyrie is a finisher like AD, Kyrie and LeBron weren't perfect fits because Kyrie resented the fact LeBron took the ball out of his hands. AD loves the fact. He doesn't have to worry about that. Second highest scoring average, 29 points in NBA history behind Michael Jordan, minimum 10 games. So that's a pretty good 10 spot.
I would swap Wade and AD, but
you'd what?
I'd probably swap Kyrie and Chris Bosh too.
You like Bosh more than Kyrie?
I think he could do more. Kyrie's an incredible player, but I think Chris Bosh could do more.
I don't have a problem with that.
And Wade's a Hall of Famer and had a championship before LeBron got there.
People forget Zydrunas Ilgauskas. That was LeBron's guy. That was his guy. Big guy ran the floor, gives you double-doubles.
This seems like a lifetime ago.
It was.
It's crazy.
It's like when Brady won his first Super Bowls. It was all defense and Brewski, and Brady was this young-looking guy, and you're like, it was a lifetime ago. It was 20. Yeah.
LeBron looks different.
With a beard.
I mean, but just like it's crazy how long ago that was. That's how long LeBron's been playing.
It does make me think. So, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that Brady and LeBron have done like 20 years. So we obviously know now that's going to be kind of a thing for the guys that – I think Russell Wilson, because he spends seven figures annually and has for a couple years on his body, Russell Wilson has the same, the kind of aspirational dreams. He also takes such good care of his body. Now, he does run around a lot, and you wonder if that ages well. But he's had no injuries, college or pro.
I think it's a little bit of luck as well, but you can't deny – I mean, Brady and LeBron – spend so much time and energy. Like, it's past time and energy. It's like how they live their lives. It's a lifestyle, how they take care of their bodies.
Yeah. Russell's like that.
Yeah.
That's Russell Wilson. That's basically a lifestyle. Some of it's luck. Andrew Luck could have lasted 20 years, but I never thought he loved football like Brady does, like live for football. And he also inherited a horrible offensive line.
Yeah.
So, like, to your point, like, some of it's just bad luck. What do you inherit? Joe Burrow, again, loves the game, but you can't get sacked 70 times in a season. It does not work that way. All right, good stuff. We will see you tomorrow. The fellas are coming up next for Joy and for John in Los Angeles on a Friday, blazing 5 tomorrow. It's The Herd.